Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All righty. I'm going to be ministering to you. Glory to God. Now, I think most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I'll just quote it. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now, when we say we walk by faith, that's our lifestyle. Amen. We live a life of faith. We should be talking faith, right?
Amen.
Which means the word of God should be coming out of our mouth. So we should be talking faith. We should be living faith. In other words, the words that come out of our mouth shouldn't be just words, but those words turn to action. You hear me? Those words turn to action. Amen. In other words, we live a life of faith in every way. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And it says in verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." You see that? Now I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "But faith working through love." Hallelujah. Faith working through love. You know, faith and love are to be partners. Huh? Faith and love are to be partners. Now, I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And now while you're turning there, well, let me go ahead and read here, then we'll move on. 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have," listen to this, "and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love," finish it. "I am nothing." So we see here then that faith and love work together. Faith and love work together. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, we're going to travel again. Let's go travel over to Mark's house, Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. Mark Mark, the 12th chapter. Now, just as a matter of information, I want to read a few verses to you, sort of to set the story so you'll see where I'm going. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 18, it says, "Then some of the Sadducees, who says there is no resurrection, came to him," him being Jesus, "and they asked him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, left no offspring. And the second took her offspring. And the third likewise. And so the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise," now these are the fellows that didn't believe in resurrection. You know they was always trying to trap Jesus, right? "Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife now you may be wondering, what does that have to do with faith? We'll see in just a moment. Jesus responds in verse 24. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven.'" By the way, it didn't say they were angels. It said they'd be like angels. All right? Still with me. Verse 26. "But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken.'" So he had to straighten them out on some things, right? You still here? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, when Jesus spoke, folk listened. When Jesus spoke, folk listened. Now, verse 28, it says, "Then one of the scribes came, having heard them," listen to this, having heard what he had to say, they heard what the Sadducees said, and now they heard Jesus' response. So it's verse 28 again. "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them, reasoned together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him," are you ready for this, "which is the first commandment of all?" You see that? "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him. Now, don't forget our subject, our faith at work. Jesus answered him. Listen carefully. "The first of all the commandments is," the first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love, listen to this, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. This is the first commandment. Let me read it to you again. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now remember, you know, folks are listening to Jesus teach. The disciples, everybody's listening, right? And rightfully so, they should be listening. So he said, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, this is the first commandment. Hallelujah. All right. And he went on to say, and the second, everybody say second. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Are you ready for the rest of what he said? There is no other commandment greater than these. There is no greater commandment than these. And our command right now, we live, listen to me, brothers and sisters. You can say, well, you know, I want to keep the commandments. I want to keep the commandments. I want to keep the commandments. You know, let me help you with something. You know, some folks say, well, we should keep the Ten Commandments or do whatever. Let me tell you something. This is what Jesus said. He said there are two commandments. You love God with all your soul, all your mind, all your heart, all your being. And you love your neighbor as yourself. Now let me tell you, let me show you an example. If I'm loving God with all my heart, then I don't want to do anything that's going to displease him. You hear what I'm saying? For example, let's go back to the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not commit adultery. You shouldn't be want your neighbor's wife. Well, if your flesh says, ooh, she sure is pretty, I'd like to have her for myself. But your spirit reminds your flesh that you love God and that would not please God for you to go after another man's wife or another woman's husband. Why? Because you love God. See, that's the reason. Let's read this again. We're gonna finish here. Put it back on the screen for me again. Verse 30. Mark 12, verse 30. And this is recorded in other gospels also. But now listen. Grab a hold of this. You shall love the Lord your God with some of your heart. Jesus said this. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, you put everything in because you love God. You love God. You want to please God. And so you make a decision. I'm not gonna please my flesh. I'm not gonna lust after my neighbor's wife or husband. I'm not gonna kill, murder. I'm not gonna be a murderer. And we could go on and on and on, but I'm not gonna do these things because I love God. I'm not here to please me, I'm here to please God. Hallelujah. Now, well, while we're at it, let's go back 31. Put it on the screen for me, verse 31. And Jesus said, and the second is like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So now listen, if I love my neighbor, if I love my neighbor, I'm not going after my neighbor's wife because I don't want to do my neighbor that way because I love my neighbor. Or if I love my neighbor, I'm not going to steal from him because I love my neighbor. He's my neighbor. And I've been instructed by God the Father, who I love, not to steal from my neighbor, not to cheat on my neighbor, to treat my neighbor right. Jesus said, if we will do this, we won't have any problem with the commandments. Because if I love you, if I really, and I'm not talking about just talk, if I really love you, I'm going to treat you right. Not cheat you right, treat you right. I was listening to a lawyer talk a few years ago, talking about cheat you right, I cheat you right. And as he got ready to leave, he said, sue you later. He was joking, of course. But you understand, are you following me? This, remember what Jesus said. All right, praise God. And we read in Galatians where it said that faith works by love. And the Apostle Paul, as he was writing to that church, was correcting them because, and you can go back and read for yourself, he was correcting them because many of them was trying to get back under the law. But if you want to know how to fulfill the law, we can fulfill the law through Christ Jesus. Because if you're going to live by the law, you better keep every letter of it. And I got news for you, that still ain't good enough. Because if you don't go through Christ Jesus, you can't please God. Or are you still with me? Amen. All righty. We're gonna move on. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but we're going to get somewhere. Now, all right, let me see where I stopped at here. Glory to God. I want you to turn now with me to Luke chapter 17. Let's go there. Luke chapter 17. Now in Luke chapter 17, I'll begin reading at verse 1. Then he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Now, Jesus is teaching, right? Now, when Jesus is teaching, we should be listening, right? Verse 3, "Take heed to yourselves that if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents," what are you supposed to do? Forgive. You're supposed to forgive him. And when Jesus said you rebuke him, you let him know, brother, or it could be a sister, you're wrong. Listen, there is nothing wrong with correction. Correction in the right spirit. Now, if you are a person that cannot take correction, you need to change. Remember, you hear me say this sometimes. I will always remain teachable until I leave this earth, because I got sense enough to know that I don't know everything. I got sense enough to know that I don't know everything. And I'm trying to grab all I can, you know, when it comes to the things of God. But I don't know everything. So I'm going to always remain teachable, but I'm not going to open my ears up to just anybody. Amen. I'm not going to open my ears up to just anybody. I'm very careful who I allow to teach me, especially in day and time we're living in right now. Are you still here? Okay. So verse 3 again, he says, "Rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." You see that? Forgive him. "And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall do what?" You shall what? Amen. Now remember, his disciples, they're listening to this. Now, how many of you know, I'm going to read on, but how many of you know Jesus had some tough fellas as his disciples? I mean, some of these fellows were unlearned men. They were just everyday guys. They were tough guys. And, you know, Peter is one of them. You know, these guys was tough. We know Peter was tough, because we know Peter would cut you. Yeah, Peter would cut you. Whack the guy's ear off. Heard somebody say, yeah, he got his ear, but he was going for his head. He may have been. Of course, what? Jesus rebuked him, put the guy's ear back on. But he has some guys. Now, how many of you know, listen to me, and I hope that's the case right here. When you're hearing the word of God, at some point, first of all, let me stop just a minute. How many perfect people do I have in here? You perfect. Raise your hand. Okay, I don't see any hand. Well, how many imperfect people do we have in here? Let me see your hand. In other words, you're not perfect yet. Raise it high now, or else I might think you perfect. So, okay, all right. Now, thank you. having raised your hand, so that means that there is room for improvement, and I'm included in that number too, by the way. That means then that there is room for improvement in your life. Amen. There's room for improvement in your life. Well, now, if there's room for improvement in your life, guess what? As you sit under the word of God, you're going to hear some things that's going, as we like to say, that's going to step on your toes. And you have two options. One, you can get offended and get up and walk out and say, I'm never coming back here again. Or you can say, okay, Lord, I make an adjustment there. I'm wrong. I repent, you know, for the way I've been acting, the way I've been thinking, the things I've been doing. Lord, I repent for that. Amen. And then you move on. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, Jesus is talking about forgiving someone who has done you wrong. And you let them know, listen, brother, sister, you know, this is not good. We should, you know, handle this way. And this is the reason why, you know, I love you, but I just want to say this to you. And if they repent, then we you know, we were supposed to go ahead and forgive them. In other words, Jesus is saying, let it go. Let it go. They do it again, they come back, I'm so sorry I did that, or I'm so sorry I said that. What are we to do? Forgive them? Let it go. Amen. Now these guys listening to this, so, now, Jesus just told them, let me read verse 4 again. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day return to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Put verse 5 on the screen for me. What was the apostle's response? And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. In other words, Jesus is teaching, and they're thinking about somebody that done them wrong. They're thinking about somebody that they'd like to get even with. And all, you know how it is when you hear in the word of God, all sorts of things go through your head because Jesus is teaching on forgiving. Forgiving. So if he's teaching on forgiving, that's what you're going to be focused on as you're hearing the word, forgiving, and how I should forgive certain people for what they did to me. Or it could be the flip side. Maybe you did something and you thinking, man, I need to go and apologize to them and ask them to forgive me for what I did, for what I said. So you can think, you know, that all this is going on in their head. And some of these were tough guys, and they're thinking, man, for me to do what Jesus said, I'm going to have more faith. It's going to take more faith for me to do that. So they cried out to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, they said, I can't do this by myself. Increase my faith, Lord. Can I tell you something? Too many times we depend on our feelings. The Bible does not say forgive when you feel like it. Okay? You don't depend on your feelings. You may still feel hurt. You hear me? You may still feel hurt. You may still feel wounded because there's some things that God have to heal. That's what happens in families sometimes. Been cheated on, they've been rejected. But the Word of God tells us that we are supposed to forgive. Now let me, you know, depending on the circumstances and depending on the leading of the Lord, you may have to make some adjustments. You hear me? You may have to make some adjustments. Some things may have to be done. But they are to be forgiven. You may still be sore within, but they are to be forgiven. You take those hurts, the wounds, the bruises, the pain, and you do what the Word of God says. You take all those cares and you say, here, carry this. There are folks in the hospital today because they're carrying those weights. Somebody did something to them. Say, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it, Lord, but I forgive them. Now, Lord, I'm casting my cares over on you, and I'm looking to you to heal me emotionally, physically, because there can be physical, negative figures, physical results. You heal me, Lord, emotionally. You heal me physically. And I forgive them by faith. Weights that God never intended for you to carry. Jesus said, we read it earlier, it's impossible. You're going to get offended at some point in time. Somebody's going to do something, say something, act in some way that's going to offend you. So just know how to deal with it. If you can talk it out, pray it out, that's good and fine. But if you can't, you release them by faith, you give it to God. No wonder Jesus said, listen to this, no wonder Jesus said, pray. pray for them. Because you have to understand, listen to me, God loves you. Do you believe that? God loves you. And God wants what's best for you. And the Word of God tells us that He has given us peace that passes all understanding. Walk and live in the peace of God. You can do it. But you gotta be willing to forgive, release that person or persons, and leave them in God's hand. You pray for them, you leave them in God's hand, and you forgive them. Well, I don't feel like forgive. Don't be moved by your feelings. You just obey the Word of God and say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them. I've watched from time to time, maybe on a newscast, and someone's done something really terrible. And maybe a mother will have lost a son, or a father have lost a daughter, that should still be here. But I've heard them. I thought, wow. And they'll say with tears in their eyes, you know, I forgive them. Have any of you ever seen that? I forgive them. What they're doing, yes, it hurt, but they're refusing to carry the weight of it. They're refusing to carry the weight of it. Am I making sense to you? They're refusing to carry the weight of it because our burdens upon the Lord. Amen? Now, I'm going to stand here and act like it don't hurt. Absolutely it does. That's the reason we have to cast it over on Him and give it to Him. And so, the disciples is thinking, wow, how can I do that? You know, you don't know what such and such did to me or what happened to me. And so they say, Lord, increase our faith. And I've got to hurry here. Let's go back, Luke 17. In verse 5 again, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now listen what Jesus said. You know, sometimes Jesus don't give you the answer you think you want to hear. Listen what Jesus said. If you have faith, now they ask Him to increase their faith. You can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now let me stop right there. If you say, let me read it again. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Listen, faith worketh by love. So whatever it is, whatever your mulberry tree may be, you can command it to be uprooted and cast into the sea, and you be set free. Amen. Amen. Because you was willing to forgive, and you were willing to give it to God. And now you use your mouth. When the devil comes and says, oh, look over yonder. There she is. There's the woman that took your husband. Look at her again. Look at it again. Isn't she a mess? She's just despicable, isn't she? And that's when you speak up, because when the devil's talking, you better out talk him. You shut up, Satan. I'm free. Me and the Lord's taking care of this. Proper English, the Lord and I. Because he promised that he's going to take me through everything, every obstacle, everything I face in life. Because we're still in the earth. You're going to see things that remind you. You're going to see people that remind you. You can't stop living, folks. You can't stop living. People are going to be people. We say sometimes, and it's the absolute truth, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. So we're going to see things. Things are going to remind us. But what you got to make sure you don't do, don't let it get back on the inside of you. Amen. Don't let it control you. Amen. You speak to that situation. You get out of my life. And then receive it by faith. And if you see that person, I'm just using a person as an example. It could be anything. It could be anything. And you can say, I'm free. I'm free. And the devil keep talking. Say, devil, I told you to shut up. I'm free of this. God has delivered me. And if you don't shut up, I'm going to bless him with something. Well, am I scripture? Didn't it say, do good to those that spitefully use you? Slap him in the face. Listen, I am here to tell you, according to the word of God, we can be free. We can live a life of freedom. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Because as the disciples were listening at Jesus, they were thinking, man, this is hard. Who told you that living for Christ, living for the Lord, was going to be easy? If somebody told you it's going to be easy, they told you wrong. We got to trust him. You face things. You have to deal with things. You have to deal with people. But you keep your eyes on Jesus and you keep your eyes on the word of God, and you can stay free. We can stay free. What's going on the outside does not have to get on the inside. You don't have to like what's going on the outside. You don't have to like what people's doing. But you can stay free. Anybody listening to me out here? So, disciples was concerned about that, man. Lord, increase our faith, because you just don't know. They probably got a list of things that people did or said to them. Amen? Let me hurry up here. Praise the name of the Lord. And I like this example Jesus gave. I'm going to read 6 again, then I'm going to read on. He says, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Hallelujah. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Jesus says, I think not. Listen to this. So likewise, you, when you have done all these things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Wow, I need to close. I got some more. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you something. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, listen to me. Have the heart of an unprofitable servant. No wonder Paul, the Apostle Paul, identified himself as a bond servant of Christ. When you want to bellyache, when you want to gripe, when you want to complain, remember what Jesus did for you. Remember what Jesus did for us. We were unworthy, but because of what Jesus has done for us, we are now children of the Most High God. We are now children of the Most High God. What are we to do? Keep his word. If he say forgive, forgive. Just remember, we're bond servants. We're servants of God. We do whatever he tells us to do. Amen. There's some more I could say about that, but I don't want to keep you because there's something else we need to do. Praise the name of the Lord. Hold on to that. If the Lord say the same, we may visit this again next week. We'll see. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.